Never underestimate janitorial products. Paper towels, trash liners, toilet bowl cleaners, mops. These are the things that hold our civilization together. Janitorial products are the foundation of our fragile world. That's why I use Tough Guy products from Grainger. They're effective and affordable. They're 20% off in July, so stock up. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/toughguy or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Promotion ends July 31st, 2013. Visit Grainger.com/toughguy for details.
Try the new Subway $4 lunch. It's for everyone, for anytime. Choose from tons of 6-inch subs, plus a 21-ounce drink, all for just $4. Lunchtime, anytime.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. Frank is still on assignment, so I get to strap on the headphones and host the show once again. I'm Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And Ian and Dan are here with me. Yes. They're always here. Hi, guys.
Yes.
Everything okay?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Enjoy great. Fridays.
I actually was thinking about you guys on the way in because you're both smokers.
Yes.
And on the way in, I saw two smokers out in the garage here, which is, you know, like 50 yards away from our studio. You go through these double doors and you go out into the garage, and they're both standing there smoking. And it's two people who I've recognized before because they must smoke a lot because they're always, doesn't matter which of the shows on KTRS I'm doing, when I come in, they're always smoking. I don't know what office they work in here. It's not ours, but one of the others here at Westport Plaza, but they're always out there on a smoke break. And today they both looked so miserable because it's 97 degrees outside, mm-hmm. and they're in a garage
right.
where the air is not moving at all.
Concrete and holds the heat well.
Yeah. Plus, you're sucking the exhaust from every car that goes by, and it's like...
Yeah.
Wow.
Get that exhaust away from me. I'm trying to smoke.
Yeah.
What, are you going to try to kill me with that? I have to inhale that stuff.
And this doesn't bother me at all. I would much rather have it 97, 100 degrees than 10.
I would take the heat, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take the heat.
Well, we've talked about this before. At no time in the summer do you have to shovel the humidity.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
And also, the difference between weather like this and winter weather is if you live in an air-conditioned environment in your home, in your office, and in your car, each of those places you go to is going to give you relief. Even if you get in your car on the hottest day of the year, if you have an air-conditioned car... In 90 seconds,
it's
that
nice
car is
going to
be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the winter, on the coldest day of the year, you could have a 30-minute drive to work, and the car is never going to warm up.
No.
And it just starts getting warm right when you pull into the parking
yes,
spot.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Ah! Yeah. I mean, when I started out, I did a morning show in New England, in Hartford, Connecticut, and we only lived 20 minutes away from the radio station, and the car never warmed, not one morning, December, January, February, March, it was never warm in that car, ever, 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 because it just, I didn't give it long enough.
Yeah.
So, I went to the pool a couple of days ago. In fact, this is what I want to start talking about, today, because, it's amazing how on a hot day, even a hot and humid and uncomfortable day like today, if you were to go stand outside your own house, in your driveway, if you have a lawn, wherever it is, on your patio, your porch, whatever you may have outside your house, if you went out there and stood outside in this kind of weather for 15 minutes, you would just feel miserable.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel for all the people who have to work outside, you know, those poor guys who have to lay down new streets, the tar and all that stuff. I mean, that's the worst.
I played softball on Wednesday, and before we had even started, I'm standing outside.
Yeah, every layer
soaked.
Of everything yes. is completely drenched, yeah. So you do that outside your house, you can't take it for 15 minutes. But you go to the pool. You don't even have to go in the pool. You sit down on a chaise lounge next to the pool, 8 feet away from the pool. The fact that you're lying near a pool somehow feels cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't know how physics works. I can't explain that. What is it, a mental thing that as soon as we go through that gate?
I think it is.
Because I have a towel under me on the chair?
Right.
Oh, this you is walk so much
up,
better.
You walk up to the edge of the pool, and you kind of stick your foot in mm-hmm. and go...
Sometimes it's still like, whoa,
yeah,
man.
Whoa, that's a little cold. I'm going to wait until I warm up, and then you go sit down.
This week when I went to the pool, the temperature of the water was perfect. Exactly, you know, the sort of thing where you don't even have to test the water. You can just go to the edge and jump right in, dive right in. It's just the perfect. But I can also tell you, because I know what August is like in St. Louis, it's about 4, maybe 5 days away from soup.
Yes. Yeah.
Where you jump in and you realize, oh, it's actually better out of the water.
Bath water.
Oh, it feels thick and soupy. And
Yeah. People soup.
People soup.
this pool's like Campbell's Chunky Soup. What is that? But here's the part of this I want to talk about. Have you ever been a lifeguard, either of you?
No.
I have not, but I took training for it.
You did?
Yes.
When I was a kid, I went to a day camp and they had Junior Lifesaver. Was one of the things you could do. You know, it was just part of the swimming thing. And I couldn't have saved anybody's life. Yeah. Whether your name was Junior or not, I couldn't have saved you. I was a great swimmer, and I'm still a pretty good swimmer, even as a big guy. Did you ever learn to save a life?
Yes. Yeah.
You know CPR?
No, I don't know CPR.
Really?
You know what? I think they taught that when... This was when I was probably 16, 15, something like that.
Yeah.
And we did have to learn CPR then, but I don't remember any of it.
Well, here's my question. Because I went to the pool, and because I go during the day, I try to go in the middle of the day, and the pool that I go to in our neighborhood, they have this kind of kids camp at the pool that goes to about 11 or 11:30. So I always try to show up right at the end of that.
Yeah.
And then... There are only a couple of adults in the pool, and I get to swim laps. People aren't in the way. You go, you know, 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Now moms or dads have showed up, and they've got their little kids, and the noodles are out, and the tubes are out, and you can't do laps. So I try to get there in the middle of the day and do that. And the day that I showed up earlier this week, there are all the kids from the camp there, and there are about 6 lifeguards, and they're all just standing around the pool, keeping an eye on things, I guess, and they're all holding the red flotation device that they have to have. It's kind of like the highly advanced swim noodle.
Baywatch.
Yeah.
Right, the Baywatch thing.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself for a while, when these kids took this job, and it's all, by kids, I mean people college age and younger.
Yeah.
When they took that job, after having the necessary training for that, did they think to themselves, I hope I get to save a life? Or did they think, I hope I get to stand by the pool and be really, really bored?
When I learned how to do that, I was hoping I would never have to save a life.
Yeah, I bet it's either to get a nice tan during the summer or meet some girls during the summer or something like that. I don't even think that really even comes into the equation. Well, it's just part of the...
I'd like to talk to some people who have done this job of lifeguarding, because I've never even seen a lifeguard get in the pool, except at the end of their shift when the next lifeguard comes and they're relieved of responsibilities. Then they'll get in the pool to cool off, then they get right back up. They're up that ladder and out of there, and they're done with their shift, and they're gone. Or maybe they're going on break, and they come back in 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
I have never seen somebody being a life being saved by a lifeguard, or even a kid in trouble who had to be pulled out, and never seen anybody do CPR. Have you?
At any
pool? And we've been around for a while, the three of us.
Yeah.
We probably have been to the pool hundreds and hundreds of days.
And I've gone to lots of public pools and stuff, and Yeah, I've
never the only
seen
thing
that.
They yeah they whistle and say no horseplay or whatever. Oh, that's get off exactly, get off yeah. his shoulders, sir.
Knock it off.
Yeah, there's a lot more whistling than there is life saving. And here's the other part of it also, because I'm a large person. I'm 6'4", and I'm tall and wide. Let's just leave it at that. I look over at some of the lifeguards who are, I'm going to go with 18, 19, maybe 20 years old. They look like they weigh about half of what I weigh.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. I have thought to myself, there's no chance this person could save me.
Yeah, really.
I mean,
I think they're taught ways to swim where they can carry somebody that's a lot heavier than they are. It's a way of, under one arm or something.
The firemen's carry where they get the arm around your neck and they can pull you out. And, of course, the buoyancy of the water is going to help them as well. But I have looked over there and thought, A, what's this job like day in, day out? Because I think most days it's got to be you grab your little floaty thing and you go stand there or sit there. And then a few hours later, you're done for the day.
Yeah. Now, my dad never learned how to swim. He's sort of afraid of the water. He doesn't like to get into any deep water at all. But I always thought that if my dad ever fell in anywhere or did anything like that, and I had to go in and save him, first of all, he would panic to the point where you would have to knock him out. You'd just have to go in and knock him out to actually save him because he'd bring you down.
Wow.
Yeah. I just got a text. Tim Weiland was a lifeguard. I see.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Bill was a lifeguard on the phone.
All right, let's go to Bill. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones *KTRS. Bill, you're on the Big 550. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Good, yeah. I've been a lifeguard both indoor and outdoor, actually my brother too, and some of the things you say make sense. We spend most of our time checking out the girls and get the tan.
That's my thought.
But when you start the job, I mean, you go through the training. And I'm guessing there's a lot of training. And I also think that a lot of the people who end up as lifeguards, especially at community pools, were probably the same kids who were on swim teams starting when they were 5 years old. And so they're completely used to being in the water, right?
That's exactly right. It was, my brother and I both swam, and that's how you ended up with that job. Because I think it was called a CCSI training. And you were taught, they call it cross chest carry, where you get behind somebody and kind of put your arm under both their armpits and across their chest, and you drag them away from you. And one of the reasons you do that is to keep them from climbing on top of you when they do get real scared.
On their back, right.
Well, you're kind of doing a side stroke, and like the side of your body is against their back, so they're facing away from you.
Yeah.
And you do that because some people will panic and try and climb on top of you, and then they'll sink both of you. And one of the things, the real big people, it's like you said, the buoyancy. If they're real fat, they tend to float.
So like a big seal.
My hand is up in the air.
All that blubber.
It does tend to float. But it's a pretty boring job. And, yeah, you absolutely hope you don't have to save anybody. You're there just filling time, to be honest with you.
Interesting. All right, Bill, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Mike, you're on the Big 550. Hi.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. I used to practice that in my profession now that I'm retired, so as a first responder. CPR has changed over the years. Used to be 5 breaths, 10 compressions. Now it's 1 breath and 20 compressions.
So you just breathe once and then you're pumping the chest 20 times?
Yeah, because basically there's enough air to oxygenate the bloodstream.
Whoa.
It's the heart that's the secret, because the heart has to pump the air to get it up to the brain so the brain doesn't die.
Okay.
That's a simple way of looking at it. I mean, it gets a little more complex. But the basic thing is that you've got to be really, really careful on older people, because when you start pressing on the chest, you're looking at the chest bone and the breastbone that's there, and then the ribs there,
yeah,
can crack and break their bones by pressing too hard.
Yeah.
Mm.
Same thing with a child. You got to be very, newborns, it's like two fingers and press, in there. But for an adult, use your palm of your hand across the breast.
Kind of like the Heimlich. You have different ways to do the Heimlich for different people.
And Mike, did you get to do CPR on a lot of people?
I was... I had to do it twice. Both of them did not make it because their heart just wasn't strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, you do the best you can do, and there's a lot of guys that have made it successful, and people have been rescued in that respect. It's an interesting thing, and we need to have really more people learn that, take the effort to go out and learn it and get the classes, because you never know. Same thing with the Heimlich.
It's right, now,
very, very good that we as a population should know that, because you can save a person's life.
Okay, but I have to ask you this, and again, we don't know the answers to any of these questions, so we're asking from complete naivete. But I've seen in, you know, tons of movies and TV shows where, you know, some emergency responder has to give somebody CPR. When you did it those couple of times, let me see how I can phrase this. Did you think to yourself first, I don't want to put my lips on that?
You know what? That's an interesting question. After the fact, you think, oh, my God, this guy could have some disease or that woman could have some disease. But in the moment...
Adrenaline probably hits you and you probably don't even think about it.
Yeah, in the moment, you really don't. But now the fire departments and EMS wagons, they have mouthpieces that they actually put in.
Really?
Almost like a dental dam?
Yeah.
Well, man, I don't know if you want to call it that. But
wow.
That you don't really have to put your mouth on it. But, you know, again, I think it's just in the moment when that occurs, you're looking at another human being and you're saying, you know, maybe there's something I can do here to get this guy until the ambulance comes and gives them oxygen or if they need to have a shock therapy. Now the fire department even carries them. They place them on the chest and then zap them to get the heart going. But back when I was doing it, was just you put the palm of the hand over the breastbone and over the breast and pressed and blew in, and you tilted the jaw and tilted the neck and pulled the jaw back. And if they had false teeth, you had to take it out. And it's changed, but... I would recommend that you should go out and learn.
You know, I remember the night Dan and I were out, and he tried that on this woman, and she said, hey, I'm just trying to have a drink. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm breathing fine.
Yeah, don't, she's standing at the bar. There's no reason to be doing vertical CPR, Dan.
I said, no, you're not. You're about to die.
Mike, I'm glad you called. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Can we hook up with Tim Weiland?
Yeah, he's standing by.
Is he in the traffic center? Hi, Tim.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So you were a lifeguard, too?
I was.
Well, and did you ever did you rescue anybody?
No. And you know what? I was just a good swimmer. I never belonged on a swim team or anything like that. I just wanted I friends of mine were lifeguards, and I was 15 when I started, and then I worked when I was 16 and 17 at it's no longer there. It used to be Sun and Swim swimming pool over in South County. And yeah, I mean, you know, you learn all the different things these guys have been talking about, and there's ways to, you know, put them across your body, or, you know, if there's somebody that's struggling, you go up underneath the water and climb up their legs and their body and stuff, and then grab them around the neck and get them so you know, if they're panicking and that, you get them so they can't bring you down. And
but
it was a lot of fun, but I never did rescue anybody. No, it was...
All about the chicks, girls. Right?
Yeah,
you bet, especially when you're 15, 16, and 17.
Now, all right, so be honest, how'd that work out for you?
Not very well.
I'm sure even if you don't get the, you know, hook up or anything, just all the view. It's a great, it has to be a great view.
Fun. He jumped in like three or four times and grabbed girls. He thought that they were just splashing around and playing volleyball.
You looked like you were going down.
I'm sorry. So he got fired.
But if I come back to that question that I asked the previous caller, and I'll ask other people who've done this job, did you want to rescue someone, or did you think, well, I'm going to be like that police officer who drives around in the patrol car and never has to deal with a criminal?
No. You know, if it ever came up, that's a good question. No, I don't think you want to see anybody have a problem where you have to rescue them. But, you know, and
everybody looking at you hoping you can bring them back if it even got to that point. That would
Yeah. You know, but you're ready, because they used to shut the pool down and drill us all the time, and you'd be ready, you know, just jump in and go from there. But I don't know. I probably hope nobody you know, was hoping nobody did start drowning, you know, just because I didn't want to be the one to have to run in there and do it if I do it wrong.
I remember a routine that the comedian Robert Klein did once about he was working as a lifeguard at a pool, and there was a kid there who was just the parents brought this kid, and the kid was just a pain to everybody. None of the staff people liked him, and he was just annoying all the time. And one day, the mother brings the kid there and says, "Now, I have to go shopping. I'm going to leave him here. Will you keep an eye on him?" And Robert, what am I going to say? No. Okay, so the kid is in the shallow end, and he starts drifting into the deep end. And he's like, "All right, get back. And he does, and it drifts back into the deep end. And he goes, "Oh, get back." And, you know, he's blowing the whistle, making it. And eventually the kid gets into the deep end, and he's in a tube. And Klein looks away for like 2 seconds. And the kid has slipped through the tube and now is going down to the bottom. So he jumps in. Klein jumps in, pulls the kid out, saves him, gets the water out of him, all that sort of stuff. And now the father has shown up at this time. And when they're done, the father tips Klein $5.
Yeah. Wow.
and Klein says, "How did they come to that amount? Why was that the right amount? Do you think they talked? Well, how long have we had the kid?" And Klein says, "I could have gotten $10 from the staff if I let the kid drown."
you know what I think is funny is I was just talking about this with my wife the other day is, you know, when you're wanting to be a lifeguard, I think the biggest thing I want to do is put the zinc oxide on my nose.
you look really cool.
You know what? I'm here to tell you, as a person who's never been a lifeguard, I'm telling you on behalf of the civilian world, that does not look cool.
No,
I don't. Well, hey, 30-some years ago, it did. But, you know, it's no,
hey,
you're right.
Phil,
but
Phyllis on the phone had to save her husband's life.
Ooh, okay. Well, I want to talk to you, Phyllis.
Talk to you guys in a bit.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi there. Hi.
Were you a lifeguard?
No, I'm not a lifeguard. I never really took formal training. I'll try to make this fast and short. What happened was, it was June 4th, 2 years ago. I'll never forget it. My husband had Parkinson's and wasn't terrible, but, you know, I said, "Let's go out in the pool in our backyard and, you know, get your muscles moving." He's like, "I don't want to go." I go, "Come on, you're going." And I made him go out. So, of course, then you feel bad about that, because maybe he didn't feel well and didn't tell me. So we get in the shallow end. It's a concrete pool. Gets in the shallow end, and he swims over to the waterfall, and then he swims over to under the diving board and went down like a rock.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the crap just happened here? And I just got my hair fixed. I'm thinking, if he is joking, I'm going to whack him. I had to mess up my hair.
Yeah.
I'm not an avid swimmer. I'm not physically fit, and I've never dove to the bottom for anything. I'm too buoyant, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you something. I went down to the bottom, grabbed his arm, brought him to the top, took him to the shallow end, still no breath. And I did the mouth sweep to make sure that there were no cicadas in his mouth that maybe he had aspirated.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And then I did a couple of precordial thumps. And let me just say this. I am an RN. I worked in the ER for years and in the intensive care. So I do know how to do CPR. And I'm recently ACLS certified, which is advanced cardiac life support. So I knew all the things to do, but when it's on your own, it's kind of a horse of a different color. And I could not lift him out of the pool, and he weighed 155.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there were stairs. I just couldn't do it. It was just absolute dead weight. What I did was I absolutely, with all my strength, bashed him into the concrete wall to get some kind of electricity kind of going in his chest. And finally, he took like a sucking breath. And I looked over, and I had forgotten to bring the phone down to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, when I knew he took a breath, I knew he was good for about 30 to 60 seconds. I ran up to the house, called 911. We're in Monarch. All within 3 minutes, they were there, and I'm still bashing them into the wall because that's the only way I know how to get some kind of decent chest compression.
When you say bashing them into the wall, you mean that you had him kind of bent over and you were hitting his chest against the wall, almost like a cement Heimlich?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it went to kind of his shoulders, our deep end is about four and a half feet.
Uh-huh.
So I was just trying to get some pressure
yep.
to make something work.
That's pretty good thinking.
You know,
wow.
And one of my instructors said to me, I used to say to her, my God, I hate codes. And she goes, why? I said, because I'm always afraid I'm going to do something wrong. And I think she was the determining factor for me. She said, why? They're dead already.
Mm.
The only thing you can do is good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're already at their lowest point when they code.
Yeah, at this point, what's the difference if he comes out bruised if he's alive?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, bruised wasn't the word for it. They x-rayed his sternum. He had these scratches like he had been hooked up with a lion. And that's the only thing. He came out of it. When Monarch came, one of the guys jumped in the pool with me, and there were six guys that lifted him out, and there was nothing. And they bagged him. And what they do is they have a AMBU bag, and then and even on mouth-to-mouth, they have it where, I forget what the valve is called, but they can't vomit back in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a one-way valve or something like that. But anyway, oh, shoot.
No, that's all right. We'll give you a free pass.
Try to get a free pass.
Yeah. We have a rule on this show. If you saved your husband's life, we don't call in Bernice.
You get a Bernice pass.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And they pulled him out of the pool, and they put oxygen, and we're doing the bagging, and he wasn't doing anything spontaneous. They started an IV, and, man, I didn't see any smiles. And took him and put him in the ambulance, and, of course, the policeman's interrogating me to find out what happened and how it happened and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, one of the paramedics come running back to me and said, I just want to let you know your husband is breathing.
Wow.
I was like, you're kidding me.
Wow.
He was in the intensive care 4 days, went to rehab for a week just to get his muscles going, and he had six more good months. And, you know, I'm really, really proud of what I did because I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he would look at me and cry with such gratitude. So I guess my message is never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Never, just because you don't know how, yeah, you could snap that xiphoid off or, you know, do something to a lung, but at least you tried. I don't think I could have ever lived with myself not trying
mm-hmm.
to save Dave's life.
Yeah,
I think I'd rather have broken
ribs. I mean,
it just
gave me such a reward knowing that I was able to do that.
And you got six more months with the man you love.
I did. And then he passed away of natural causes. But, you know, I still pinch myself and think, did I just read that somewhere? That sounds pretty impossible to me.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
So that's what I wanted to share with you. But everyone needs to be certified in CPR. They need to know how to do the Heimlich, the mouth sweep, and call 911. We've got a great bunch of paramedics out here.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a great story, Phyllis. And
thank you very much.
And we're proud of you, and I really appreciate you sharing the story.
Oh, thanks. I want to share it with everyone because it's possible. Anything's possible.
Thanks for calling, Phyllis.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, if this were a joke, the rest of the joke would have been, and I kept taking him out to that pool every single day.
Yeah.
It took 6 months for him to get the message. No. I'm kidding around. 342 at the Big 550 KTRS.
All right. We're going to send it out to David Hasselhoff now and check traffic.
Babe Watch.
Tim Weiland.
Yeah. Well, we had some. We had a pretty big thunder shower that went through parts of downtown, and that's causing eastbound 70 to jam up from about Grand to the Edward Jones Dome. Looks like the rain has stopped. Southbound 270, you're slow now in pockets between 64 down through Doherty Ferry. Southbound 255, that is a mess. That is just crawling now from, looks like, between 162 and Horseshoe Lake Road down through, it looks like down past Collinsville Road. And also coming in over the Poplar Street Bridge, you're heavy from 4th Street on 5570 up to the Poplar. And this traffic report brought to you by Famous Footwear. BOGO is back at Famous Footwear. Buy one pair of shoes, get another pair half off. Huge savings for back to school on brands like Vans, Adidas, and Madden Girl. Famous Footwear, victory is yours. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Traffic.
Let me just give you an update on Manchester where that water main break is. Now they've only have a right lane.
It's out there all day long. And while other stations may ignore it in the middle of the day, we give you the traffic updates you need. The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
If you're in the market for a motorhome, you will not believe how luxurious and affordable they have become. These are not your grandfather's Winnebagos. St. Louis RV has the largest selection of new and pre-owned motorhomes in Missouri. We are located at I-70 at Bryan Road, exit 216, O'Fallon, Missouri, 314-743-3939. We carry all the top name brands like Newmar, Fleetwood, Thor, Forest River, Winnebago, and Tiffin. We also buy RVs. We will educate you first and sell you second. Financing rates as low as 2.99 for up to 20 years. Our service department works on all makes and models, minor and major repairs. Call for an appointment today, 314-743-3939. We look forward to earning your business and helping you find the motorhome of your dreams. Give us a call, 314-743-3939 or stlrv.net.
If you've been thinking about new hardwood floors in your home, I'd like to suggest Mercier Hardwood Flooring. Hello, I'm Brian McGee, President and CEO of Midwest Floor. For more than 70 years, Midwest Floor has been a leader in bringing the finest floor coverings to the St. Louis area. And Mercier is one of the finest hardwood floors made in North America. Nothing can make your home more beautiful than a new Mercier hardwood floor. And for a limited time, we'll give you your choice of solid oak or maple, plus your choice of 2 1/4 or 3 1/4 inch width, and your choice of 5 gorgeous pre-finished colors for an incredible $8.99 per square foot installed by Union Craftsman. That's oak or maple, plus your choice of 2 1/4 or 3 1/4 widths, and your choice of 5 great pre-finished colors for just $8.99 a square foot installed by our own Union Expert Craftsman. Mercier Hardwood Floors, the finest floor made in North America. But hurry, it's for a limited time. In Brentwood and Chesterfield, or online at MidwestFloor.com. Quality since 1939.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you don't have dental insurance? Well, stop waiting and give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-300-8038. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people turn to us every day because they're looking for good dental coverage at a great price. This isn't a discount plan. This is real dental insurance that can help pay for everything, from x-rays and fillings to crowns and dentures, for less than a dollar a day. And it provides immediate protection for preventive care, so you can get the checkups you need now and help protect yourself against big bills later on. You can't be turned down for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. Plus, there are no networks, so you can see any dentist you choose and never pay a deductible. So why wait? Call today and get the protection you need now. For your free information kit with all the details, call 1-800-300-8038. 1-800-300-8038.
This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe on your credit cards, the company that has settled more debt than anyone in the U.S. could settle your debt too. While you make one low monthly program payment, you have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. This free information is available now simply by calling Freedom Debt Relief at 1-800-300-6122. I repeat, if you have extremely large credit card debt, you now have the ability to reduce your total debt and get one simple low monthly program payment. This could allow you to resolve your debt faster than you ever thought possible. But you should act quickly. Call Freedom Debt Relief now to learn how much you could save. 1-800-300-6122. Again, this life-changing information is available for free. To find out how much you may be able to save, call today. 1-800-300-6122. That's 1-800-300-6122. 1-800-300-6122.
If you have a dog or cat and can answer yes to any of the following questions, stay tuned for an exclusive radio offer. Has your pet lost their energy and playfulness? Do they struggle up and down the stairs? Do they seem depressed or irritable? If you answered yes to even one question, your pet may be overweight and you qualify for a free bottle of a new pet weight loss breakthrough. Just call 1-800-700-0210. The scary fact is, even a few extra pounds puts your pet at risk for diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, even early death. But now you can show your pet how much you love them by taking off the weight that's hurting them with this breakthrough from Fur Family. It's the first weight loss solution of its kind for dogs and cats. So if you answered yes even once, your pet is depending on you. Call in the next 5 minutes for a free bottle. But hurry, supplies are limited. 1-800-700-0210. 1-800-700-0210.
Hi, this is Terry Hall, host of This Week in Real Estate, and I want to welcome you to join me every Saturday afternoon for This Week in Real Estate, heard right here on the Big 550 KTRS. This Week in Real Estate, a call-in program where you learn everything you want to know about buying, selling, problems you're having, maybe foreclosures or short sales. You learn it right here on This Week in Real Estate. That's This Week in Real Estate with Terry Hall, every Saturday afternoon from 3 until 5 p.m. right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Really? You found the Baywatch theme?
All right.
I always have that handy.
I love the storylines on this show. That was some intriguing writing on that show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Made Hasselhoff a millionaire.
Okay, some people do some things, and then we'll have Pam run down the beach.
Yeah.
All right, what are we going to do in the second half hour?
Have somebody run into the water.
Yeah.
At its height, how many countries? It was in like 100 and something countries.
Yeah, it was the most popular show in the world.
Amazing.
For several years.
That's crazy.
I can't help but wonder if in 90 of those countries, they thought, this is what Americans look like. Because they'd never seen us before. They never knew anything about us. And by the way, for those of you listening around the world via KTRS.com, it's exactly what we look like.
Yep. Yes.
Every one of us in the room here looks like Pamela Anderson.
Yep.
Donna Dearco.
Well, since we've gotten older, Paul, our boobs are about that big.
Yeah, our problem is we look like Pamela Anderson now.
Yeah. Oh.
Not pre-Tommy, if you know what I mean. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones, star KTRS. We were talking about lifeguards in the last segment. That's why Ian played the Baywatch theme. And let's go back to the phones. Hi, Jim. You're on the Big 550.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I actually was a lifeguard through high school and college, and I had three rescues, one CPR on a child, and then two adults. But, you know, it's funny. We always used to say when you were a lifeguard to save somebody, you were a lifesaver and a lifeguard.
Mm-hmm.
So, the child was a busy day. Parent was at the concession stand. I was up on that stand underneath the umbrella, looked left, saw a kid going over toward the deeper end where the diving boards were, where there was a rope, and pulling by the ladder. I looked over, I hear the mom, I look over, and I'm thinking the kid went back to the mom, but I see the mom not paying attention. And I said, no, don't tell me that kid, you know, came in. That kid was probably a little over two.
Oh, no.
So I jumped down, and sure enough, he was floating face down right there by the ladder. Mm. And mom had three other kids. She was at the concession stand trying to get food or whatever. I lost track, and sure enough, I grabbed that little kid by the pants bottoms and then started CPR on him. He coughed up water. So I ended up, that one there probably goes like, oh, my goodness. Mom was frantic. You know, and the child had changed colors. So I was like, oh, no, you know, asking your heart's pumping like anything, you know.
So after you got him okay and he was breathing again, was that one of those where, as a two-year-old, he then stands up, runs to mom crying, and then that's it?
No. Brought into the shade, ambulance came, put him on oxygen, took him to the hospital. Just for the mere fact that, you know, it could have been 30 seconds, could have been a minute. You know, the last thing you want to do is have any type of repercussion, brain damage, slowness, anything like that. So, as a precaution, they took him to the hospital.
Well, that's amazing, A, that you reacted quickly enough to save the kid, and that you also had two others. But I go back to my original question here. When you started to become a lifeguard, you're applying for the job, and then you get the job, and you go through the training, okay, you're there, and you're in the chair. Did you think to yourself, boy, I hope I get to rescue somebody? Or did you think, boy, I hope I never have to get out of this chair on the job? I would just like to keep an eye on things, but never have to do that.
Suntan and girl. That was pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're praying to God that you don't have to do that. But in the end, you know, it's kind of like anything else. If you see somebody outside fall or, you know, I mean, it's just human nature. You're going to turn around and try to help them. Are you trained? I guess as trained as you can be for a 17 or 18 or 19-year-old, but probably more trained than the frantic parent, I would assume. But that same public pool I was at, I was close to 7. It was about 6:45, and I did not have to do CPR on this one. But there were some kids that came in, and they were using the high dive in the deep end. And they were trying to do two flips and a dive.
Mm.
And I was squeegeeing off the deck. I had my shorts on and my T-shirt on. And I was getting ready to, because it closed at 7, it was about 6:45. And these guys, you know, they were probably 20, you know, and they were doing this and, you know, really hit the water the wrong way. Well, the one guy tries to do two flips and dive and splat right on his face, his stomach, and I'm squeegeeing off the deep end, and I look up, and the lifeguard that was on duty was, you know, watching, and sure enough, he comes up, and then he goes right back down. And what he did is he knocked the wind out of himself.
Yeah.
And he got disorientated, and I, you know, I just threw the squeegee down, dove in with my clothes on, and grabbed him, and sure enough, you know, since he had knocked the wind out of himself, he was frantic. I mean, you know, he was grabbing at everything, you know, because he couldn't breathe.
Wow.
You know?
What's
kind of put like that cross shoulder choke hold on him, you know, where you come across the, you know, the left shoulder and down underneath the right armpit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then all I did is I'm 6'4", so all I did was bring him into the deep end, and I could stand up at 5.5 feet. And, you know, he had a hard time, you know, and he had a hard time breathing, you know, and kept bringing him down into the 4 foot, you know, to the point where, you know, I knew he was standing up, eventually caught his breath, but he was drunk. He was drunk. I could smell alcohol on his breath.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I just thought of something, though. What's the pay for a lifeguard? Is it?
I'll tell you what. When I ended up being a manager, I told my kids this all the time. I made, at the time, you know, this was in the 80s, $12 an hour, which, you know, and you sat there from, and this was a manager, you sat there from 7 in the morning till 9 at night, and you'd say, oh, my God, well, if you're the manager, you don't have to do much except watch the lifeguards, but you basically got there at 7 so they could do swim lessons. You were done around 10:30, quarter to 11, you ate lunch, and then the pool opened at 12:30, and then you left for an hour for lunch, but, you know, I mean, as a college guy making $12 an hour working 10, 11 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, even after taxes, you're taking home $100 a day. The college kid, that's pretty good. Yeah,
but what about?
I think one summer I brought home $5,000.
What about just the regular lifeguards, though? Do they make just like minimum wage?
Yeah, $7.
Isn't that amazing, though? You give young kids making minimum wage.
Yeah.
All these lives are under their control.
By the way, if anything goes wrong here, you're in charge of making sure that person doesn't die. And in return, here's $7.25 an hour.
I'll tell you what. The most interesting story is this one.
All right, I've only got a minute, so make it fast.
Okay. Going to visit colleges with a bunch of buddies. I end up in Atchison, Kansas, is where I'm at. Me and my buddies are swimming at the local pool. We had gone up looking at different colleges. I look up, and I say to my buddy, look at this little kid on the diving board. He was real skinny and frail. Turns around, walks to the end of the diving board, turns around, comes back. Evidently, a bee must have been up there, went to swipe at it, falls off the high dive.
Oh,
hits his head on the concrete.
Oh!
Then hits the grate and falls into the pool.
Oh!
I saw it as I was coming out, and the lifeguard that was at this public pool was turned around talking to two girls, that 17-year-old kid. So I turned around, I dove down into the deep end. And up this deep end, it was 13 feet. So I this kid was unconscious, and I pushed off the bottom. He was coming down face first. I turned him around, supported his neck. And I'll tell you what, the hardest thing to do is to keep a kid above water while you're trying to grab a breath.
Yeah.
You know, and that. So then I, long story short, I bring him back into the 5 foot, and they bring in those papoose boards, you know, those straight boards that you put them on.
Yeah.
He had a seizure. Oh. He fractured his skull and was airlifted to KU.
Oh.
Well, every year, I ended up going to college out there. Every year, his mom called and said, hey, this is your anniversary date. You know, that your life was saved.
Wow.
About maybe a little less than a year ago, who do I get a phone call from? This guy.
Wow.
Thanking me for saving his life.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
And I'm 51, so he's an insurance agent in Kansas City. And real nice guy. And
that's pretty great.
You know, I know I probably said it when I was a kid, but I never said it as an adult. I really thank you for saving my life.
That's great. Jim, I'm really glad you called. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You guys have a great week.
Just reminded me really quickly of once when I was at a pool and a bunch of us were trying to do back dives off the low board. There aren't really high boards left anymore, but there was a girl in line. She was like 9, 10, 11, and she was just kind of jumping off the end backwards,
mm-hmm.
not doing a dive.
Yeah.
And she did it once and caught the end of her nose.
Oh.
Not the whole nose, just like the tip of the nose. And she came up and there's blood. Well, the rest of us are mad now because the pool is closed down.
Oh, yeah,
it was like, we have no compassion for you. You have ruined our afternoon. This is all we were doing. Hitting the concrete. Horrible, horrible. All right, we got a break. We're back in the 4 o'clock hour with Joe Hipperson talking movies. It's the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on KTRS.
A wood deck is great.
But when it rains, the water drips through, making the area under the deck an unusable wet mess.
Don't you wish you could stop the drips so you can use that space under your deck as outdoor living space and even extra storage space? Rain-tight decks can do that by virtue of an underdeck ceiling system that collects the water and channels it away from your deck and porch to keep you dry and comfortable. Rain tight decks.
What a concept.
Call 636-357-8385 for an estimate or go to raintightdecks.com. Get more out of your deck with Rain Tight Decks.
This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis, Ladue, Glen Carbon, University City, Edwardsville, Manchester, Wood River, Grafton, and the world.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
Depend on it.
From ABC News.